It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB. Brought to you by Mark Tytel with Realty First.
Or I should say, good afternoon, everybody. It is 12:08 this Sunday morning. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining us for the Elise Glink Show. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. My website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter from thinklink.com. It has links to all of our stories that we're publishing, whether it's on the Equifax Finance blog, CBSMoneyWatch.com. Good one this week about top 10 places to live if you're rich and single or would like to be with somebody who's rich and single. That's at MoneyWatch.com and other places around the country that we're publishing great work. So thinklink.com and sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Talking money this week, wow, stock market zooming 516 points, ending the week 11,509. At least we didn't see quite the same level of volatility this week, where we've seen in previous weeks up 600, down 400, up 500, down 600. You know, we didn't quite see that kind of volatility. But intraday trading certainly saw triple-digit swings. Even on Friday, the stock market was up not a little bit beyond where it ended. Then it went all the way down 0.5%. So it was up almost 0.1%, down almost 0.5%, and then it kind of bounced up, and then it was down, and then it was up again. So even in a day, we're getting, I would say, some pretty interesting volatility. What's going on here? Well, it looks like on Friday, we finally saw five major central banks, and this was kind of coming all week. We saw a lot of concern about Greece and were they going to default again, and Europe, and was anybody going to step to Greece's rescue again? And what we finally saw this week is that five major central banks, including the Fed, moved together to pump dollars into the European banking system. And they did it through operations, including the type of swap lines of credit, that were very popular back in 2009 in the U.S. And so that helped strengthen the euro against the dollar. So too bad for any of you traveling to Europe. It helped the U.S. equities market. We saw the stock market end the week quite a bit higher. German Chancellor Angela Merkel confirmed her nation's commitment to the common currency, but she ruled out Eurozone bonds. There was a whole discussion this week about Eurozone bonds. So, really interesting to watch what's going on. I think the best thing that Merkel said this week was the way out of the debt crisis will preoccupy us in the coming years. There is no quick fix. I think in this country, we are committed to a quick fix absolutely everywhere, and it's just not working. Nothing's working fast right now. And so you look at, whether we've got a tax situation or if you look at, where we are with just our own equities, you look at our debt, or you look at just, at all the different pieces of this recession, clearly the unemployment numbers not going in the right direction anytime soon. Growth has been cut back. In fact, any number of strategists have lowered their outlook for the U.S. growth this year. There are some concerns now that Japan is on its third lost decade in a row. The U.S. is on its second lost decade in a row. Is the Fed reacting aggressively enough? These are all really interesting questions, and it's just taking a tremendously long time to get to an answer. And some economists are saying, well, look at how long it took us to get out of the Great Depression. And we made some mistakes along the way, and it prolonged the agony. So if you think the Great Depression started in 33, and we had a second run at it in 37, and didn't really start to get out of it until after World War II in 45, 46, that's a long decade. That's like what they call the baker's dozen of decades. So it could be a tremendous amount of time. That doesn't feel very good to a population used to getting a commercial break every 8 minutes. I just look at our own attention spans are so short. We've got a presidential election that is, on the verge. There's another Republican debate this week. I think it's on Thursday. There's just a lot going on, and we want instant answers, and we're just not getting any. 404-872-0750. So talking about, I want to talk about mortgage interest rates this week. We hit another record low this week for mortgage interest rates. I wasn't going to refinance. I told you when we hit 4.25 for our 15-year, we were never going to refinance, lowest ever. Then we refinanced at 3.75. And I said, oh my gosh, I've finally locked in on the lowest interest rate I'm ever going to have. And now we just locked in on 3.375 for a 15-year. And we have been continuing to make the same payments that we were making at 4.25, and we'll continue to do it 3.375. So instead of paying it off in 15 years or 14 years, which is what we had left, we'll probably end up paying it off in 12 years and probably save about another $20,000 in interest. Folks, if you can refinance, if you have any equity in your home, this is a great time to do it. The real question is how many people are going to be able to do it. And this is a conversation that we've been having for a really long time, and we're going to have it again. But if you can save it, you can save significant dollars. Now, according to the White House, there is forthcoming, we don't know when that is exactly, forthcoming some sort of program to help more people refinance. And I think what's going on, it's really interesting. There's a new book out. I have not read it yet, but I read a review of it, and there's some suggestion that the economic advisors in Obama's camp are just, you know, completely at odds with each other and have been over the last couple of years. May explain why these programs don't ever get formulated quite as quickly as you would like to. But supposedly, there's going to be a new program allowing people who are way underwater, like 50% underwater, which much of Atlanta is, by the way. If you're underwater in Atlanta, it's very likely that you're at least 25% underwater. It's one of the statistics that I've been tracking. So if we can get to a program that would allow people who are that far underwater with their loans, where their mortgages are that much more than what the loan is worth, then they can refinance, then you're going to start to see, I think, a little bit of an economic boost. But the bondholders aren't happy, and the banks that are being sued aren't happy about that. Nobody, you know, if you've got a performing loan, they don't want you to refinance and into a lower interest rate, right? Because that just means income goes away for them. So there's just a lot of competing interests is maybe a really good way to put that. A lot of competing interests. 404-872-0750. Lines are wide open, folks. Totally happy to take your calls about money and investing or mortgages, refinance, real estate. There was a lot of news this week. Unemployment numbers looked terrible again this week. We were back up over 425,000 for the initial unemployment. That looked terrible. UBS had a massive unauthorized trades, massive loss, $2.3 billion. They said it's going to probably wipe out their entire profit for a quarter, a whole quarter. So we can certainly talk a little bit about that. And a little bit more, I think, about what Obama is just announcing today, which is sort of interesting, what he calls the Buffett plan. Warren Buffett, a couple of weeks ago, came out and said that millionaires and billionaires are not paying their fair share of taxes, and he at all wouldn't mind if he paid more in tax, to which a whole bunch of people said, that's really nice, go ahead and write a check. Meanwhile, President Obama in the White House today announced, I guess he didn't announce it, somebody from the White House said he was going to be announcing a new plan to have millionaires pay at least a minimum amount of tax no matter what. Minimum amount of tax no matter what, in order that they pay the same as middle class homeowners. So that's sort of interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that happens. And then in addition, President Obama said he plans to end a series of tax breaks for hedge fund managers and private equity executives, as well as oil and gas companies and people earning more than $200,000 a year, all this to help pay for the $447 billion jobs plan. I just want to go on record as saying, folks, that I think there's got to be more pain that we all... There's been so much pain already for sort of what I call Main Street, as you know, but Wall Street has to eat its share of pain in this. We're not going to get around it. When you look across the waters at Europe and at Greece, and you look at people with 20% unemployment, and you look at them protesting in the streets and carrying signs, and the violence that Greece had several months ago, we're not going to escape our own pain in this country. There has been a lot of pain for people who are unemployed, but not so much so for a lot of other people. You know, you've got your job, you're going along daily life, but we're definitely going to have to make some changes. There's going to have to be revenue increases as well as deficit cutting. You just can't do enough. I don't think you can cut your way to profitability with this. That's what a lot of times companies will say. You look at Bank of America is going to cut 40,000 workers. We heard that this week. And you think to yourself, are they going to really cut their way to profitability when they don't even have enough people on staff who are good to process all these loan modifications anyway? I mean, how are they going to do that? That kind of pain, I think, is definitely coming down the line. 404-872-0750, Richard joins us on the line. Hey, Richard, welcome to the Elyse Glink Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. How's your day going?
So far, so good.
Excellent. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got this mortgage. It's a 15-year loan. I've got about 5 years left on it, probably all about $65,000 in round order, you know, round numbers. But I'm paying 5.25% interest. So, you know,
How many years into your mortgage are you?
How many years into it?
Yeah.
10.
It's not worthwhile for you to refinance. Is that your question?
That is my question. I've been thinking about it and pondering, and I'm like, keep thinking that, you know, the cost of doing it are going to be more than I'm going to save, so I'm kind of stuck.
Well, let me tell you something. You're almost paying no interest right now. When you have a 15-year loan, you know this, you pay most of your interest the first half of the loan. You're two-thirds of the way through. You only have $65,000 left. It's like, you're mostly paying principal right now.
Yep.
And so if you refinance to another 15-year loan, you've just added 10 years of payments, so it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I was thinking, you know, if you could find a 5- or a 10-year loan, or if you just keep paying that same amount, you're right, I don't want to get into a new loan that's going to stretch it out 15 years.
But even at a 10-year, okay, you could get a 10-year for maybe even under 3%, which would be sort of amazing, but then you add 5 years, so even 5 years... I'm not quite sure why you would want to do that when you're really literally paying almost no interest right now. So even at 5 years at little under 3%, an extra 5 years, you would end up paying more in interest than what you have left on the loan.
Well, what I would do is I'd just keep paying what I'm paying now so I could pay it off in 5 years instead of going 10 years. It's just a matter of trying to save the interest. But that's my dilemma. It's like, I'm not sure how much I'd be saving because...
Because you'd have to pay $3,000 or $4,000 to refinance.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You can do the numbers and see. One place that I like to go is eLoan.com. I just happen to like their amortization schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom, you can look under tools and mortgage tools, and then there's like 10 tools. But look for the one that says amortization schedule, and you can plug it in and see how much you would pay for your loan and prepay whatever you're paying right now for it, and then kind of look at how much you have left and what your payments are, and you can see whether it's going to be worthwhile. My guess is you'll save probably $1,000 or so, and it probably won't actually be enough to make it worthwhile. I mean, for me to save $20,000, I think it makes it worthwhile to refinance. But if you're only going to save $1,000 or so, it may not. 21 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glink Show, 404-872-0750. We'll be right back.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
7 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elyse Clay. Thanks for listening today. So coming up, I want to talk a little bit about the unemployment numbers and how we are supposed to be thinking about these unemployment numbers and where we're going with it. Let's see if we can take a quick call. Mark joins us on the line from Conyers. Hey, Mark.
Hi. How are y'all doing today?
I'm good. What about you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I turned on after getting out of church, listening to your show, which I really enjoy.
Thank you.
And I was just thinking about the unemployment issues in our country. And one of the things I wanted to share with you is that I'm a former general contractor, and I employed a lot of 1099 subcontractors that really were self-employed themselves. And when I think about the construction industry and the building industry and how things have shifted the last 2.5-3 years, those people didn't have the opportunity to really, you know, collect unemployment or pay into the system. And there's a lot of us that had to, you know, make our way. And I was fortunate enough to work in the insurance industry here the last couple of years because I had to close my business. But, you know, those unemployment numbers are just so, I think, misleading, even with the figures we have today. And I think people really need to think about those hidden people that are not collecting unemployment or that are working below their standards to maintain some form of lifestyle.
Just to have enough to pay the bills. I totally get you, Mark. We are going to talk about that because that's what the U6 says, the broader measure of unemployment. 29 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned, Mark. We're going to continue this conversation on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elis Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
37 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elis Glink. Thanks for joining us today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time. Think Glink.com, THINKGLINK.com. Don't forget to sign up for my free weekly newsletter. We have all kinds of cool stuff coming up this fall. I want you to stay on top of it. Plus, you will get links to all the great ThinkLink content out there, like the stuff that goes on the Equifax Finance blog or MoneyWatch.com or even at ThinkLink. We have all kinds of good stuff there, too. So the unemployment number looked pretty awful, excuse me, on Thursday with the benefits numbers back up well over 425,000. That wasn't so good. There are a lot of people who are out of work in this country, and a lot of it is now coming from state and local unemployment. We are seeing state and local governments lay off people, especially teachers, policemen, firemen, the people who keep us safe and keep our kids educated, which I think is absolutely dreadful. In terms of states, Nevada still has the highest unemployment number. This is official number, not the U6, which is the broader measure of unemployment. But Nevada has 13.4% unemployment. True, that is the official number. California has edged back up to 12.1%. Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Rhode Island are all above 10% official. The unemployment number, sort of the broader measure, the U6 as I keep referring to it, is much higher. And this, I think, is more of a true measure, and it's what our last caller was talking about. Mark was talking about people who are sort of underemployed or working part-time when they'd rather be working full-time, or they've given up. They were 1099s. They're not even counted in many cases in these unemployment numbers. It's kind of the hidden number of unemployment. When you look at the total number, if our official unemployment number is 9.1% in this country, the U6 is looking at nearly 17% unemployment. Nevada, which is 13.4%, is over 20%, 20 to 22% U6 true unemployment. I mean, you look at this number and you think, how can you have 20 to 25% of Americans unemployed? What is that doing to us? Not just the long-term consequences of deficit climbing or, you know, revenue shrinking, but what is it doing to the emotional state of the American family that is trapped and can't get enough of a job to pay their bills? Now, it has been argued on this show by some of our callers that extending the unemployment benefits is a cause of high U.S. unemployment rate, that these are slackers. And you hear a lot of politicos going, slackers, this is a slacker thing, and they don't want to reauthorize the benefits. But what you are seeing is that we have had the longest long-term unemployment. It's now more than half of the people who are unemployed have been unemployed more than 6 months, and a huge percentage have been unemployed for more than a year. And now we're starting to count the numbers of people who have been unemployed 2 years. And while conservative economists have said that extending those benefits could have increased the unemployment rate by as much as 2.7%, a new study from the University of California, Berkeley, has found otherwise. Jesse Rothstein, who's a professor at UCal Berkeley, said that by his analysis, the unemployment rate had only been raised 2/10 to 6/10 of a percentage point, which is much less than what has been implied. And he said half of that could be caused by benefit recipients searching for jobs, therefore remaining part of the labor force instead of giving up, right? Because benefit recipients must look for work to qualify, and you have to prove that by showing what you've done over the past weeks. If you've never applied for unemployment insurance, that's what you have to do. And what he concludes in his report is that the optimal unemployment insurance program designed would provide for generous extensions, I'm quoting here, of benefit durations in deep recessions that last until the labor market is strong enough to give displaced workers a realistic chance of finding employment before their benefits expire. It's a fascinating study. I will link to it in today's show notes so that you can read the study for yourself and see what he has to say about it. I just worry about what this is doing to the American psyche and what this is doing to the dream that we've had in this country of always providing a better life for our children than we ourselves have had. And for the first time, it seems like maybe that's not going to happen. And people are worried about it. And I just think it's very bad for the long-term health and growth in this country for us to think that our best days may be behind us. I never want to think that about this country, which I think is the greatest country on earth. And in the greatest country on earth, you have to be able to look forward to better life. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Dan joins us on the line from Peachtree City. Hi, Dan. Dan, you with us?
Wait.
I just think I just heard you. One more time. Dan?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So what's on your mind today?
Well, thinking about refinancing the house, finally. Been kind of watching it for a while, and my wife and I have been talking through it, and we're getting ready to come up and pay our taxes here, so I'm thinking probably, and that's kind of the reason I'm calling, is I'm thinking now is the time to get that done, so I don't maybe have to escrow, you know, a whole bunch of money for taxes.
Okay.
And thinking we might want to do that and want to see if it's, you know, does it make sense to go and pay the $3,000, $4,000 in closing costs, or do you just add extra every month to your mortgage and go ahead and do the,
okay,
the refinancing, if you will, that way?
Well, tell me what your interest rate is.
I'm at 5.675 today on a 30-year fixed. And looking
how
to go
long
down to 15.
Okay, and how long have you had that loan?
I've had it about 6 years.
It absolutely makes sense for you to refinance. I haven't even done the numbers, but you could, to a 15-year, you can go down to 3. I just got one for 3 3/8. We were offered 3 1/4, but we ended up trading some closing costs and took a little bit, slightly higher interest rate.
Sure.
So you could go down even further, and if you could go to a 10-year, you might even be able to hit 3% or a little bit less. So
okay,
you're talking about lopping off a significant amount of in your percentage rate and shrinking the number of years from, let's just say, 6 to 15. I mean, excuse me, you have 20, say you have 24 left to 15. So 9 more years of payments you're going to shrink. So take that off the table, and you're going to lower the interest that you pay by 2.5%. It's a no-brainer.
Okay. And do you recommend trying to stick with the current mortgage company you're with? Or
no, I think you should search around. I mean,
okay,
you can call them and see what they're willing to do for you, but I think you won't know what you can get in the marketplace until you go out. So what you really need is a lot of equity. So if you've got equity,
okay,
you're in good shape.
We're in good shape.
Great. And you need to have, these days they're going to put you through the ringer. They're going to want to see all your cash and your tax returns and all that kind of stuff. So
okay,
if you have all of that handy, what I would do is start calling around. And I would call maybe a local mortgage broker, credit union, if you belong to one or you can join one, a couple of, you know, look at a big lender, look at the current lender, and go online and start shopping around online and seeing what kind of deals are out there. Because it allows you to have maximum flexibility when you're negotiating with the lender.
Sure. Now, you know, the last question, and getting back to the taxes thing, you know, with taxes coming up and coming due, am I going to have to put down a, you know, when you go and do all of your upfront cash for taxes and insurance and all that, am I going to have to put a whole year's forward worth of taxes into an escrow account, or am I hitting it at the right time?
Well, you might have to, but you'll get your money back from the other lender, whatever's left. It just
right,
takes, you know, you'll have about 8 or 10 weeks where there's sort of a transition. But if you're thinking about escrowing on your own, it's hard to do that unless you have a really significant amount of equity in the property. So we escrow our own taxes, I think, at least we've always done it, And, you know, but we have more than 50% equity in our property. So I don't know what the magic number is for equity, but you should certainly ask. And then when you ask about doing it, you can expect to pay a fee for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do it yourself. But I would only suggest that for somebody who really has adequate cash flow. You're not going to forget about paying your taxes and all that rest of it. Because, the, you know, I don't actually have a problem with the tax escrow because I do think that it helps most people budget and plan for what is a really big, odd expense once or twice a year.
Right.
But if you can do that, then I'm good with it.
Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate the time and love your show and hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Dan. Thanks so much for the nice comments. 47 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. John joins us on the line from Roswell. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
I thoroughly enjoy listening to your program. I try to listen to it every Sunday, at least.
Oh, blush, blush.
Really learned a lot between you and Clark, and even the young man talks about cars and loans and everything. It's just fascinating.
Adam Goldfein, thank you very much on behalf of all of us. Thank you.
That's right. Avid listener. Here's my situation. Very similar to the young man that just called a moment ago. I have a current mortgage on my house at $68,000. I'm at a good rate. I refinanced a few years ago at 4.375.
Okay.
7 years left.
Okay.
I pay principal, interest, taxes, insurance, all lumped up at $1,319 a month. Let's say $1,320 a month.
Mm-hmm.
With 7 years left. I took a HELOC out a few years ago in order to buy some rental properties.
Uh-oh.
And that's sitting at $73,000.
Okay.
And I'm just having a tough time paying that thing down. And I'm at 2.5%. I'm using, of course, some of the, obviously, the tenants to pay that down, but it's taken me a while. My concern is that interest may begin fluctuating here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when. But I can get a combined interest rate. And by the way, I shopped around, and I found out that my current mortgage holder can give me the best rate and deal.
Okay, good.
3.37%. No points, fixed, 15-year, can prepay at no penalty.
Sounds like an awesome deal.
I think so, too.
I think you should take it because, although I have to say you are adding 8 years back onto the $68,000.
Right.
But on the other hand, you're locking in an amazing deal on the combined amount, which is about $161,000.
Right, right. And then I've already worked out the math that if I was paying $1,800 a month towards this, you know, between the two,
mm-hmm.
if I do that, I'm going to be just under 10 years of payments.
You know what? I think it sounds like a good deal, John. I think you should take it, and I think you should lock it in. And delighted that you shopped around. I mean, good for you for actually doing the legwork. And you found, and now you actually have confirmation that you were offered a very good deal.
Exactly. I thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
You're welcome. You too. It's 49 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. We have a few lines open if you'd like to join us online, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Coming up next hour, we're going to have a prize pack to give away. We're going to continue our conversation about refinancing in this market and some tips that you might want to follow for getting a really great deal. I can't believe we're having a conversation about somebody getting a combined loan of $161,000 at 3.37%, 3.375%, that's just amazing that you're able to do that. In terms of mortgage interest rates going up, I do have to say that I'm not really seeing mortgage interest rates jump anytime soon. In fact, there's talk about how the Fed is actually going to be pushing for long-term interest rates to go down even further. It's hard for me to understand how much further mortgage interest rates can fall. But in fact, I mean, it's looking like the Fed is going to put some real muscle towards getting those long-term 10 and 15-year rates, 30-year rates down even further. And we'll just have to watch it and see, because the last 3 or 4 weeks we've had record low mortgage rates. Each week we've hit another record. That is just really amazing. We've got news, weather, and traffic coming up. We've got in today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution a special report looking at how the state has failed its teachers, how the state of Georgia has failed its teachers. You'll want to pick that up and take a look. 10 before the hour, AM 750, and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glick on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
56 minutes past the hour on the Elise Sling Show. Thanks for joining us this Sunday morning on AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750, or tweet me, I'm at Glink. All right, let's go to back to the phones. Jane joins us on the line from Tucker. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Elise. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Doing great. I've got a question. I've got several investment properties, and I've refied everything I can except for one, and it didn't appraise out. So I'm trying to find out other options that I can do. I don't want to walk away. I want to keep it, but we're totally upside down, so I don't know if I should tap into a home equity line at my primary home or just looking for some other suggestions on what I can do with this this terrible loan I feel I'm in.
Well, what's the interest rate on this terrible loan?
It's 6.5%.
That's not terrible. I mean,
well,
terrible,
I know,
it would be like 12%, and you can't refinance.
I know.
So putting it into perspective, first of all, it's an investment property. So what did you refinance your other investment properties at?
About between 4.5% and 5% I was able to get on the others.
Okay, so you're looking at about a 1.5% difference, which is, it's not that it's not significant. I just don't want you to feel like, you know, you're going to walk away over this. Is the property cash flow positive?
No.
How much underwater are you with it?
About $60,000.
No. How much, you know, on a monthly basis, the rent that you're getting versus...
About $125 a month.
Okay.
Underwater.
Okay. So getting that refinanced down would be good, but I don't know that it's worth risking your property, your primary home, and just to get that refinanced. I think what you have to do is take a look at the numbers and play around with it, because if you can put down X amount of money and then bring down the interest rate enough, are you still going to be underwater with the property every month on a cash flow basis? That's really the question that you want to answer. 58 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
8 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Welcome back, everybody. Next week, I'm actually on a little bit later because of football schedules. We'll be on 1 to 3 instead of 12 to 2. It's always a little something fun in football season. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. ThinkGlink.com, ThinkGlink.com. Let's go right to the phones. We've got a lot of people on hold. Ann joins us on the line from Cartersville. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Elise. I have a question concerning my son. He's in his early 20s. He's been very good with his money, but he's renting a house and would like to purchase a house, and I'm not sure what type of advice I could give him. Does he need an agent? Does he need a down payment?
Yes. Yes.
Is he open to purchase a foreclosure?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the easiest call all day, Ann. Thank you so much. First of all, I'm gonna do a little bit of self-promotion and recommend that you give him the gift of two of my books, and you can buy them online from Amazon for like less than $20, I think.
Okay.
The new one is called Buy, Close, Move In, and it's everything you need to know about navigating this kind of new world of real estate.
Okay.
The other one is my classic 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask, 3rd edition.
Okay.
And I think there's some sort of deal with Amazon. You can buy them both for $20 or $25 or something. Those two books, I always believe you should start with information.
Right.
And it's always about how do you understand the process of doing something and how do I fit into that process. So these two books will help with that. Now, in terms of getting an agent, if you're going to buy foreclosures and if you're going to look for an FHA foreclosure in particular, which I think is a great idea,
mm-hmm.
he will want to find an agent. And if you're buying a HUD foreclosure, and that, which is really basically an FHA loan that's gone bad, there's a website called HUDHomeStore.com.
Okay.
This is where all of the HUD properties in the country are listed. I believe in Georgia there's more than 6,000 or 7,000 of them. But to bid on them, you're going to need a qualified agent, an agent who's HUD certified.
Okay.
So the way to do it is you poke around on the site and you can see for the bids that were accepted who the agents were.
Mm-hmm.
So once he finds an area that he likes and he looks at the properties online. He should look at other properties in that area that have been sold and who represented them and contact that agent or those agents and then see who's the best fit.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one good way. Now, for down payment, the nice thing about buying a HUD foreclosure, you can buy it. It depends what he does for a living, but you know, as little as $500 down, sometimes it's a dollar down, sometimes it's $1,000 down, and then you get an FHA loan along with it. So you're going to need some, he's going to need some sort of down payment, but it may not be as much as you expect. But the thing is with FHA loans is they've changed how they do them. And so you have to pay mortgage insurance, but the more you put down, the less you pay in mortgage insurance, even with an FHA loan. Didn't used to be the case. And if you put down 20%, I think it's 20%, maybe it's 19%. I have to go back and look at my story this week. He wouldn't have to pay mortgage insurance with an FHA loan at all.
Okay.
So there's lots of interesting things going on right now. He's going to want to get qualified and work with us. Now, the only thing is, if he likes the house he's living in and he wants to buy that house,
right,
then he has to make sure he's qualified for a mortgage and he can go talk to the owners and see if they can work out a deal. And that would be good for the owners and good for him.
Yeah, it's way too small.
Okay, so that's not going to work out.
It's very, very small. He wants to get out of the dinky little one-bedroom.
Oh, yeah, I would never recommend buying a one-bedroom house. So then he's going to want to start this way. And then the agent who can help him with the HUD homes probably also can do general foreclosures as well.
Okay. Should he go, my credit union that I belong to gave him a loan on his own without a cosigner for a used car. Would that be the person we would go to try to get the loan, or no?
I think it's a great place to start. Credit unions have great programs.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of credit unions in general.
Mm-hmm.
And he should go and take a look and see if he's, you know, what his credit is and if they like it. But I also think he should look around and shop around, because in his situation, maybe a mortgage broker, you know, he should look at there. He should look at a big bank. It doesn't cost anything to shop around. And in my book, Buy, Close, Move In, and 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask, in those books I describe the process of shopping for a mortgage, where you should go, the questions you should ask, how you should compare those loans with each other, how to think about them.
Okay.
So that's why, again, starting with information, and then when you have information and you really understand it, then you end up making a really smart move.
Would you not recommend, with him being so young?
How old is he?
He's 21.
Okay.
And he, you know, his dream is to build a house on our property, for us to give him 2 acres and build a house. I just think he's too young for that type of stress.
I think that he's probably should do something else first.
Right. That's what I recommended.
But, you know, if that's his dream, you know, the question is what happens when he moves or he needs to do something different or, you know, there's just a lot of things that can happen. And you're going to have your property for a while anyway, right?
Right, right.
So I wouldn't worry so much about it. I'd like to see him start somewhere else.
Somewhere small. Okay, great. Thanks, Elise.
Oh, you're welcome,
okay.
Ann. Thanks Bye-bye. For calling. 14 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Jennifer joins us on the line from Snellville. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Elise. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I are struggling. We have some decisions we need to make, and I'd like your advice. We have a mortgage with 15 years left on it at 7.5% interest rate. The balance is $68,000. We have $75,000 cash savings. And so we're struggling with whether we pay off the loan and live debt-free, or do we refinance, rent, and then put that money toward a new house.
Wow, those are really different options.
They are.
Okay.
They are. So we just don't know. I mean, does it make sense for us to refinance, stay in the house for a while, and I guess save more money? Or in this market, is it wise to go ahead and try to sell? Maybe $75,000, $80,000 is what we get for the house.
You'd get how much? $75,000 or $80,000?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to refinance, you're going to have to take some of your cash and put it down. And the problem is that there are very few lenders that are going to do a loan for less than $50,000 to $75,000 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to find somebody who's willing to do that. And you have how many years left on this loan?
15.
You have 15 years. So you've had it for 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Roughly.
So if the house is it an FHA loan by chance?
It is not.
Not an FHA. Okay. I think it might be worthwhile for you to try to go see a lender and say, you know, would you do a $50,000 mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, you know, what you could do is you could put of your $75,000 in cash, you could pay off the loan so that you only have, like, say, $18,000 left, and then get a home equity line of credit or a second loan that would be fixed at something like 3 1/3%
mm-hmm.
for 10 years.
Okay.
And that may be a way to go, is with a 10-year loan.
Okay.
Then you'll get the money back out, and you'll have locked in a better rate, right? At 10, let's say a 10-year
right, right.
a 10-year payout, it may be 3 3.5%.
Okay.
So that way you're shaving years off the loan. You've cut the interest all the way down, because you'll still have a decent amount of interest to pay,
mm-hmm.
even if you're halfway through this loan. And now you're on a better cycle where so much more of the money is going towards the equity.
Uh-huh.
Now if you want to rent out this property, you can. Right? Because
right.
you have your cash
yep.
that you need for the down payment. What I'm trying to do is get you to a place where you can have your cake and eat it too.
Exactly, right. That's exactly what we've been trying to do.
So I think that's where you start. You start by refinancing the current property.
Uh-huh.
Or getting out a paying down so that you have almost nothing left, and then, you know, you redo a home equity loan. And then lock it in for 10 years at a very low rate. Now you've got your cash. Now you can look for a place to live. And once you find a new place to live, then you can rent out your place.
Perfect. Makes sense.
All right. Let me know if that works out, all right?
I will. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Have a good one. 17 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Rob joins us on the line from Cumming. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Elise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. Seems to be like mortgage and refinance day. How can I help you?
Well, I appreciate it. My wife and I have been on our property for about 10 years, and right now we owe $388,000. That loan is at 4.65%.
Okay.
We also have a line of credit that we use to buy some other property that the balance on that's $160,000, and that's at prime.
Okay.
On our mortgages, or on each of these, we've been throwing a little bit of extra money just to kind of bring the term down some. But what we're wondering is, should we put both of these together under one loan at a lower interest rate?
Well, you may not get a lower interest rate. What's prime these days? It's about 6%? No, it's got to be a little bit lower than that. The problem with putting them together as a single loan is that you're over $417,000. So $417,000 is the rate at which you'll be at a conventional mortgage. Above that, you go into jumbo territory, and that could raise the interest rate a little bit higher than that. So at $417,000 or below, on a primary home, you're probably, you know, on a new 30-year rate, you're at 4.5% or 4.25%. On a 15-year rate, you're down at about 3.5%, depending. All this is depending on equity and credit. Putting them together puts you a little bit above that. So you could try it. Have you shopped around yet?
We've got a good friend who's a mortgage broker, and he's thrown some ideas at us. What he wanted us to do was bring a little bit off of the line of credit to, you know, still keep us under the jumbo rate, but refinance at 15 years at, you know, somewhere around 3.5%. I just don't know if it's better to get the lower rate or if it's better just to throw extra money at the current loan.
No, definitely it's better to get the lower rate.
Okay.
You've got enough. You are lowering that rate 1.25% just off the 388. That's a huge number, and you're going to save a lot of money by doing that. And how many years left do you have on that loan?
We probably have about 22 years left. You know, as the rates have gone down, we've already refinanced a couple times.
Right. So the trick is to get it down but keep paying the same amount. So that's what my husband Sam and I keep doing. I would say you're saving a huge amount by doing this. And if you can get 3.5% on a jumbo 15-year, you should jump at that.
Okay.
So I think your friend is giving you the right advice. But, you know, the best thing that you can do is to confirm, and the best way to confirm is to shop around. Not that you're trying to shop your friend around, but what you're trying to do is make sure, confirm that you're getting a great deal from him. And it sounds like if you have a friend, he's going to cut you a little bit of a deal with your refinancing costs. You're going to do this loan. it seems like a very, very good loan to be able to get for a jumbo. I think you should jump at it and just figure out how much you're going to save. My guess is you'll probably save about $50,000 to $80,000 in interest over the life of both of these loans, and that is worth doing. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more and a prize pack on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Our WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack to give away right now. The value, $324. It's a great pack this week. It includes a four-pack of tickets to the 28th annual Full Atlanta Home Show, September 23rd through the 25th at the Cobb Galleria Center, and a pair of tickets to Music Midtown on September 24th at Piedmont Park, produced by Live Nation. A family four-pack of tickets to the 79th Annual North Georgia State Fair. Love State Fairs. September 22nd through October 1st at Jim Miller Park in Marietta. And a maintenance agreement gift certificate for your home's HVAC, courtesy of Shoemate Air Conditioning and Heating. That prize value, again, $324. We're going to give it away to the fifth caller, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Clint. He's going to answer your call. And good luck to you. It is 27 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. When we come back, we're going to take the rest of your calls. Talk about the rest of your calls. We're going to take as many calls as we possibly can. Make sure that we are answering your money and home questions today. Refinance seems to be the topic of the day, and why not? Mortgage interest rates hit another record low this week. Hard to believe, but this could be a way for you to save amazing amounts of money. 27 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
6 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for listening today. 404-872-0750. Don't forget, I'm on a little bit later next week, 1 to 3 instead of 12 to 2, football stuff on News Talk WSB, but online all the time at thinkglink.com. Let's go back to the phones. We have Chris joining us on the line from Maysville. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm wondering if there's a way for us to refinance if our house has lost value.
How much? Well, how much value has it lost?
Well, it was we paid $350, and it's I think appraising around $180.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It's terrible.
Are you having problems making your payments?
No, but we're in an adjustable 7-year ARM.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be in a position where we are having trouble.
Unfortunately, unless you have an FHA loan, which I'm sure you don't because you have a 7-year ARM,
right?
You are so far underwater at 50% that I don't think there are going to be any refinance options for you.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I mean, we'll have to see what happens with the new loan programs that the White House supposedly is going to be announcing this week or so. But when you're that far underwater, I don't hold out a lot of hope unless you could figure out a way to pay down that loan by like $100,000, and that probably isn't going to happen.
Right. No.
What's your interest rate now?
I think it's 4.25.
Okay. Well, it's a decent actually, it's a decent interest rate. And you're not having trouble making the payments. I don't think interest rates are going anywhere but lower anytime soon. So how long have you had this loan for?
4 years.
Okay, so you've got 3 more years left on it. The real question is, how are you going to manage if and when in 4... Because I don't think your house is going to come back in value in 4 years.
Right.
So you have to decide if in 4 years, if interest rates are... Your interest rate goes up to 5.25% or 6.25%, which is still a decent enough interest rate, how you're going to handle that.
Right.
Your maximum amount that it can go up is probably 11.25%, which is pretty high.
Right.
Or actually, it's probably not. It's about 10.25%, six points is usually what it is, sometimes 5 points over the life of the loan. I guess the plan is going to be, what are you going to do then? Because if you do a short sale, let's say you have to sell and do a short sale, you only have until 2013 to avoid paying any taxes on the difference between what your home sells for and what you owe. So either you have to figure out a way to make it up, or you're going to have to think about how you're going to pay that huge amount of tax on the other side. So it's really, you get into a very sticky situation.
Right. We don't want to move.
Okay. Well, so you don't want to move, and you can keep making your payments. One thing you can do is throw every dollar you have at paying down the mortgage as quickly as possible, so that if you can get another $20,000 or $30,000 at the loan over the next couple of years, then at least when you hopefully the price of the home will start to rise a little bit, and it'll meet you somewhere in the middle. But you don't have a lot of great options, unfortunately, at the moment, if you want to stay in the house.
Okay. I was afraid of that.
Why did you go with a 7-year adjustable when you bought the house?
Well, we took out a bridge loan because we had another house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right in 2006 when we were trying to move, and we ended up buying and selling, or I guess buying the second house in 2007, right when everything started to tank.
Yeah, just really bad timing, unlucky.
Yes, very bad timing. And so we ended up having to short sale that house. So that is hurting our credit, too.
Right. I think you should try and stay in this house for as long as it takes to kind of get on the other side of it. Hopefully that'll be an option for you.
Right.
Because if you do another short sale, it'll be another 3 or 4 years before you can buy another house.
Right.
So I'd like to see you try and stay. I know that I don't know anything about you and your husband's and your finances, but I know that from a lot of the people that I counsel and have counseled over the years, that if you really try to do nothing but pay down your loan,
mm-hmm.
you can make a significant dent in it over the next 3 or 4 years. Very significant.
Okay.
And I think maybe you and your husband should put a premium on that and try to do that.
Okay.
Because getting on the right, even though you've lost, I don't know how much money you put down on the property.
Well, it didn't appraise for $350,000, so we had to put down $25,000 on top of the minimum, a small amount that we already had.
So what is the loan amount that you have left? Because that's really what's important here.
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, if it was $325,000 and you put down $350,000, you put down $25,000, or maybe a little bit more, you probably took out a loan for about $330,000. You didn't have 20% down, right?
Right.
So maybe you had 10% down, so you would have had a loan for $315,000, and now you have a loan for $180,000.
Okay.
Something like that? Or your house is worth $180,000 and your loan is probably about $300,000, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're about $100,000, $120,000 underwater, and you should try to make a $10,000 to $20,000 dent in that every year over the next few years.
Okay.
Even if that means taking no vacations and not eating dinner out and, not buying a new car and whatever it means, not having fancy cable, but taking every single dime that you can find in your budget and being really tight in that belt. And just start paying down on that mortgage, because the more you pay it down, the more options you're going to have. So it's not like the best. I'm sure that you wish that there were other things that you could be able to do, but until we figure out another way for you to get that loan refinanced, I think that's going to be your best option. 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Kenny joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hey, Kenny.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. What's on your mind?
About a year ago, me and my wife, we purchased our home, but we purchased it in a 5-1 ARM.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is it should I try to refinance, or is it okay for me to continue doing what I'm doing? I'm trying to pay down the loan before the five year hit, so that when it readjusts at a lower amount.
Well, that's good. Do you have equity in this house or not?
It's probably about $10,000.
How much is the house worth?
$114, and I owe $107 on it. No, the house is worth $121, and I owe $107 on it.
Okay, so it sounds like you have some equity in it. And yes, what's the interest rate of your loan?
3.65.
Okay, and how many years are you into it?
This is my first year into it.
Oh, your first year. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you chose a 5-1 ARM this year when long-term rates are as low as they are. You're not going to be able, I don't think, to refinance right now.
Okay.
But the good news is that interest rates are going to stay really low for the next, you know, year probably, maybe even a little longer. So I would say in about 6 months to a year, you might want to think about refinancing into a regular 15-year loan, whatever you can get, and see how that works for you. But in the meantime, I think you're being really smart by trying to throw whatever cash you have towards that loan, because, you know, just doing that is going to give you more options. You know, you want to have, you know, at least 20% in equity that's verifiable. So, you know, in your case, it would be really nice to see your loan under $100,000 when you go to try and refinance, because then you're just going to have loads and loads of options. 45 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Bill joins us on the line from Conyers. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Elise. I've listened to your show for quite some time.
Well, thank you for being a long-term listener.
Matter of fact, it has a nice flow right from West Moss to Elise Glink.
Well, thank you. Sorry you have a little football in between right now, but we'll be back to our West to Elise thing coming up in January.
I like that. My question for you does not have to do with the flow of your program today, but I know that you deal in real estate and you are very intelligent on a wide variety of topics. Have you ever heard that the Board of Appraisers will raise your taxes if you do periodic painting on your house?
You don't mean appraisers. You mean the county tax collector? Are you talking about? What are you talking about? When the county reassesses you?
That is correct.
Uh huh.
And I talked to the deputy appraiser from the Board of Appraisers, and she told me that if someone has their house painted, I'm not talking about revinyled, I'm talking about painting, that she will go up on my taxes for the house, because that is extending a certain life of a product. Normal periodic painting.
I can't speak to the thinking behind that, because it sounds completely crazy. In my mind, what you're doing is maintaining your house. I guess you could look at it as extending the life, but you would reassess taxes and raise that if you are improving the house. I'm not quite sure. The last time I checked, property taxes weren't assessed based on the length of life of a house.
That's what I thought. I had called a painter. I didn't have time to call her boss Friday because it was so late in the afternoon, but that just floored me, so I asked the painter. I'm considering having my house painted. Has he ever heard of that? And he said, no. Are you sure she's not talking about that the painter should be licensed and insured? And he said, I don't even have to get a permit to paint your house. The only thing I need to do is a lead sample of the paint.
Well, I don't know that that's true, that you don't need a permit to have your house painted. That is a very local issue, and many municipalities differ. And so if, for example, I needed my house painted where I live, I would have to get a permit for that, I think.
Oh, you would.
Listen, in the city of Chicago where I grew up, there used to be a joke that if you wanted to change a light bulb, you needed a permit, because that's really a way of raising revenue, right? So, you know, it changes municipality to municipality, and I'm the first to say to you, I cannot keep on top of all of that for every single county in Georgia, or even every city in Georgia, so I don't know. You'll have to check. But it seems very strange that she would, first of all, if you don't have to pull a permit, there's no way that she's going to know that you've painted your house. even on a drive-by, it would be very hard for them to know. And I just, it sounds just wrong to me. I don't know, Bill. It just sounds wrong. I would love it if somebody who's listening from the tax assessor's office could call in at 404-872-0750 and give us a comment on it. And I will try to do some research during the break. But I think you should talk to her boss. And then you should call us back next Sunday or send me an email and let me know what the boss said. Because I just, it sounds wrong. I don't know. You're taking care of your house and you're going to get penalized for it. Now, you want to add on a bathroom, update your kitchen, you know, do something where you're adding on a new room. I totally get how that's going to increase the value of your house, increase your taxes. But painting, just maintaining your house, not so sure about that. Thanks for your call, Bill, and thanks for listening to the show. It's 50 minutes past the hour. You're listening to News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions, only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Thanks for listening today. Let's see if we can get a call or two in before we go off the air. Glenn joins us on the line. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Good. I have a couple of properties at a home.
Uh-huh.
And is there any programs out there that cater towards people that have equity but can't get a loan?
Why can't you get a loan if you have equity?
Because of my credit score.
How low is your credit score, and why is it so low?
A couple credit cards.
Okay. And how low is it?
Probably around six and a half.
At 650, you are sort of on the cutting edge of where you can get loans. Are you looking for a loan for your primary property or these rental properties?
Either or, whichever one would work.
You'll probably have an easier time getting a home loan. With that kind of credit, it would have to be probably an FHA loan. And if you have equity, that's okay. It means you probably, if you have enough equity, you won't pay mortgage insurance on it. I would start there. But really, you got to get out from under those credit cards. It's just not helping your case. So go talk to maybe a credit union or a mortgage lender who's going to have some, give you a little bit of help when it comes to an FHA loan with bad credit. Joan and Trish, thank you for holding. I'm so sorry we're not going to have time to take your call, but you can always find me online, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. So fun to hang out with you. Don't forget, I'm on a little bit later next week because of football, 1 to 3, but I'll be here live midday here on News Talk WSB. Have a great week, everybody.